Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. Welcome to our first service for 2018. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this year. Something's changed this year. Something's happening this year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Oh, yeah, something's different. Something's different. Something's different. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to tell you something's different. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Can you just praise God real quick? Let me just, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are stepping in to the best year we've ever seen in our lives, Father God. God, the year that we're going to see you move in ways nobody has expected, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the preparation you're doing in our hearts to see these things done. Thank you, Father, for the preparation that you are bringing us to, Lord, that we might display the kingdom of God on this earth as you have prayed. Not as we've prayed, but Lord, as you've prayed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father. Thank you for it. We praise you for it, Lord. We will see. We will see the glory of God in the earth. We will see it cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We thank you for it this morning, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we are a part of that. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Everybody say all the time. Now, you know, no, God is really good. He's really, really good. He's really good to you. Amen. How many know God's been good to you? Hallelujah. All the stuff you go through, how many know God's good to you? Is that right? How many know that God knows the stuff? He knows it. He knows it. He knows it. He already knows. So just say, Lord, touch my stuff. Amen. Touch my stuff. Touch what's going on in my life, Lord. Thank you for it. Praise you for it. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we had a memorial here yesterday, and I was talking about my brother Rodney, and one of the things I was saying, when we were little boys, he would tell me, hey, I'm a Baptist. And I would say, well, I'm a Catholic. And then he'd say, well, I don't pray to Mary. And I said, well, I'm not a Protestant. I didn't even know what that meant. But I said, I'm not a Protestant. But I, you know, but afterwards, if somebody had asked me, well, what are you then? I don't know what I am except that I love God. I love His Word. Categorize me, whatever you want, non-denomination, I don't care. Doesn't matter. Are you I'm Baptist. Are you Catholic? Yeah, I'm Catholic. Yeah, I'll be all things to all men. If I might win one. Is that right? I just love God, and I want people to know God. Hallelujah. What are you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm spirit-filled. I speak with tongues. Is that okay? Sorry. But that's what I do, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's how I pray. That's how God communicates to me very well. That's how He gives me. I mean, you know what? Can I tell you something? It's not easy jumping up here every Sunday morning to give a message. Is that right? I could look it up in my book. I could look it up in, Pastor's Messages for 2018. All right. I don't have a book like that. You guys better know that. All I've got is the Holy Ghost. Amen. And friend, I'm going to tell you that all I got, that's all I need. All I need is Him. All I need is you, Lord. Isn't that what we sang this morning? All I need is you. Hallelujah. And it's funny. He gives me what He wants me to speak every Sunday morning. And folks, it's not just for me, but it's for y'all. Everybody say y'all. Point at your neighbor and say, this message is for you. Point at him and point back. Say, no, it's for you. Point at somebody and say, man, this message is for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Message of the title this morning is Inheritance Increase, Strength. Folks, we are living so far below what God is wanting for us. Do you know that? And a lot of times it's not His fault. I mean, come on. Anybody agree with that? Most of the time it's not God's fault we're living where we're living. You know whose fault it is? It's our fault, man. And God is saying, I'm going to give you an increase. If you will come to me, if you will come after me, I'm going to give you an inheritance increase. God's got things for you. Each and every person that's in the house, God wants to take you to another place. He wants to build you stronger, strengthen you so you go higher. Because I'll tell you what, He's got a purpose in mind for your life, and He's going to take you to it if you'll allow Him to. Will you allow Him? Will you allow Him to take you? Some of you are in Sawarita. You don't know. The only reason you're here is maybe to get some of this word so that God can send you somewhere else where you'll be very effective for Him. Do you know that? Sometimes we close ourselves in just what we think. This is my town. This is my neighborhood. This is where I am. And you know what? God could be saying, I want to send you someplace. Just listen and get to know my spirit. Folks, listen. Oh, my goodness. Get to know Him. Know Him. Know Him. Get to know Him. Get in His presence and find out what He has for your life. Don't be content with just getting along, going to church, reading your Bible a little bit or a lot. Don't be just content with it. Say, Lord, what have you purposed my life to be so that I might step into it? Take me there, Lord, and watch what He does. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Hey, let's go to the Word of God. Luke, I believe it's chapter 2. Glory to God. Inheritance increase. God is strengthening the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I believe that this is a year of strength. How many say yeah? Strength. Lord, give me some strength. There we go. Yeah, we have someone. Give me strength, Lord. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start at verse 40. And the Word of God says this, and the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Anybody ever been like that? Anybody ever lost a kid? Yes. No. No money. I left my son Jonathan in church one day. We left. He was in a baby basket. Rosie and I, we got out. We were talking. We got in the car and left. Went on the ride home. Somebody called us. Hey, man, we got your boy. You left them. Rosie's probably saying, why did you tell that? Yeah, well, I'm not. I don't know. Well, it looks like Mary and Joseph forgot their boy, didn't they? They did. Yeah. Hallelujah. 3 days. 3 days, man. We were like not even probably an hour, man. You know, just a little down the road. Oh, my God. Turned around and came back. 3 days. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought you sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus, the Lord God says, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Praise God. One of the things that we need to remember is that our focus should be, like my daughter was saying, on Jesus. How many know that? Jesus is the answer. Anybody remember that? Jesus is the answer for the world today. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one that we need to be focusing on. The Word of God says that we have been redeemed. Is that right? We have been bought back by Christ. He paid a price to bring us back into the right relationship with God. Is that right? But what does a redeemed man look like? It looks like Jesus. If you want to know what a redeemed person is supposed to look like on the earth, get in the Scriptures and look at Jesus. That is what a man of God is supposed to look like. Someone that's been redeemed is supposed to look like Christ. Is it not a fact that the Word of God tells us that He is dwelling within us and that He is our example? He is the one that we're to be following. Is that right? So Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. At 12 years old, I like what it says, what he was doing. What was he doing? He wasn't playing on the playgrounds at 12 years old, was he? He wasn't out kicking field goals. No, he was in the temple listening to the Bible says doctors or the doctors of the law and asking them questions. Isn't that cool? I think that's really cool because he had a goal he was headed for, and so he was going after that, what he knew his father wanted him to do. There's a young man in this church that I won't say his name, but he comes and he brings the Bible up to me and he asks me questions. And man, I get fired up, man. I'm impressed by that. Because here is a young man that will read me scriptures, and then he'll say, and then he'll ask me, well, what do you mean by that? Well, what is that? And I want to tell you what, that is a heart that God's going to use. God is preparing that young man for a lifetime of the glory of God in his life. God's preparing him. And sometimes I wonder how much we think, you know, how much we let off. We don't allow God to do what he wants to do in our lives. We spend too much time doing what we think we should be doing when we're not asking God what he wants us to be doing. Jesus said, don't you know that I should be about my father's business? Don't you know that, Mom? Dad, why are you upset? Don't you know I'm going to be doing God's will for my life? Don't you know that? Oh, friends, hallelujah. Oh, man, I can't say that, Lord. I'm not going to say, I don't know if I say that. Glory to God. Joshua, turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Joshua. Jesus, busy going about what he knew his father would have him to do. Going after the things of God. In this story here where we're going to look now, Joshua, Moses has died, passed away, and everything that Moses was doing is now placed into Joshua's hand. Here you go. It's your turn. You do it. Joshua, I believe, was being prepared, I believe, because Joshua would actually follow Moses into the tabernacle. And when Moses would get up and leave, Joshua would stay there. He'd stay and he'd worship God. Can I tell you, folks, the Word is still the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you will spend time worshiping God, you will find that he begins to speak to you. You know, I'm not afraid to tell people, hey, God said this, God said that. How many of you are afraid to say that to folks? It's okay. Sometimes people think you're nuts. Is that right? But the fact of the matter, you just say, hey, man, you know what? This is what God said to me. Oh, sure. God said that to you? Yeah, he did. Because the Word of God says that his sheep know his voice. We have a connection with God to hear what he has to say. Do you know that he paid for that? He paid for it with the blood of his son. He paid to get you to be able to hear him. He paid for it. Hallelujah. So if he's going to be doing anything in your life, he's going to be preparing you for what you got for tomorrow. Is that okay? He's going to be speaking to you if you let him speak. If you'll allow him to lead you and guide you, he will by his Holy Spirit. So here we are with Joshua. I'm starting at verse 1. It says, Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is, everybody say it, dead. Dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. It's important that we focus that, well, kind of understand that Joshua is just a man, just like Moses was, just like you are, men, just like you are, lady, you're just a woman. You're just a person. That's who he is. And he just loves God. Is that okay? Just loves God. But God has a great purpose for him, doesn't he? He's going to take him into a land so that he can distribute unto his children the inheritance that God wants to give them. Is that okay? Hallelujah. That's what God's desiring to do. I'm going to give you an inheritance. Some people don't care about their inheritance that God has for them, but I'm going to tell you something. God has a big inheritance for you if you'll take it. Oh man, it's more than you can even understand, more than you can even try to step into, because God has great things for you. Hallelujah. And he's not messing around. He's not trying to tease you. He's not throwing a carrot in front of your nose so you can bounce. No, he's just said, listen to me. If you will hear my voice, if you'll listen to what I'm saying to you, I will take you into the things that I have for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. Every place you put your foot. Is that right? Is that what he says? Can you take that for you? I'm going to tell you something. If you begin to look at the Word of God and all the promises that are, God doesn't just promise Moses, doesn't just promise Joshua. God, he says, as I said to Moses, every place that you put your foot on, I'm going to give you. I'm going to say that to you too, Joshua. And I'm going to say that to you, Leo. And I'm going to say that to you, Anthony. And I'm going to say that to you, Howard. And I'm going to say that to you, Lily. And I'm going to say that to you, Lydia, Rosie. I'm going to say that same thing to you. Every place that you place your foot, I'll give it to you. Man, hallelujah. That's a good promise. Hallelujah. It's a good place to start in your house. And my Lord, this is my house. I'm going to walk around my house a little bit. And said, Lord, this house is my house. Hallelujah. Fill it with your presence. Hallelujah. And God says, I'll give that to you. This is my yard. This is where I eat my barbecue, whatever. This is where I'm at. This is my yard. Lord, fill this yard with your presence. Step out into your neighborhood. This is my neighborhood, Lord. Hallelujah. There will be no, what's that called when they break into your house in the middle of the night? Burglary. There will be no burglaries on this neighborhood. There will be no thievery going on in this neighborhood. You walk around your neighborhood a little bit and say, man, okay. Now you're walking around your city. You say, there's going to be none of this nonsense of the enemy in this city. Amen? Hallelujah. None of the nonsense. Hallelujah. None of the junk he tries to do, none of the stuff he tries to say, it can't happen in this city. You see, the Word of God tells you, you believe God. God says, believe me. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. So you take a little walk around your neighborhood. You see some stuff going on, you say, man, I think that's a crack house down there. Praise God. Walk down there in front of it. This crack house has got to go in the name of Jesus. You don't have to talk to nobody. All you have to do is just declare it, man. Because you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Is that correct? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Can I just say this to you? I believe God is looking for a maturity in the believers that we haven't seen before. It's just a maturity that you have, man. You know what? God's with me. Do you know you don't need anybody? Isn't that what the Word of God says? All you need is Him. Some folks have got to go home, turn on their favorite. You've got to be careful how I say this. They're going to go home and they're going to turn on their favorite Christian show or their favorite, well, he's a prophet. And they'll spend 3 hours watching that guy. Christians. Where the Holy Spirit will say, hey, man, I'm here. Why don't you just step with me into your closet, or I'll talk to you in your bedroom. Spend 3 hours with me and see what happens. Is that right? Come on, man. I'm telling you the truth. The Holy Spirit is looking for that personal relationship with you. He doesn't want you. He wants to talk to you. You alone. You personal. He wants to give you things that you've got no idea. You might not even know that he wants to give that to you, but he does. But we're so busy doing other things and spending time with him. Come on, man. Is that right? It's not right. Don't get me wrong. I like to hear preachers. I like to listen. Every once in a while, I put one on. I like it. Yeah, I love it. I was watching, what's his name? I can't remember what his name was. He's down in Africa someplace, and I really enjoyed it, man. I wept like crazy when I saw the crowd of all these people giving their hearts to the Lord. I like seeing that once in a while, but I don't do that daily. I want to spend time in the Word of God. I want to spend time in God's presence so I can hear what He's saying to me. I value His presence. Hallelujah. It says, every place that you can place the sole of your foot, he's going to give you. He says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. I love God's description of how he's going to give. I'll give it all to you, man. I'll give it to you. You know, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. How many know that? Trump Tower don't belong to him. That is God's. Is that right? The Pentagon doesn't belong to the United States. That is God's. The whole earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God. That's what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. When you begin to look at things in the way of what the Word of God says, it can bring a whole different light to what you're doing. Understanding that God is always for you and not against you. Hallelujah. Pima County. How many of you guys ever hit a pothole? Driving down the road, hit a pothole. Anybody? Yeah. Okay, you hit it one time. Let's say a couple of days later, you're driving again, and you hit it again. Has anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
What is it with them things? They sneak up on you, don't they? They're in the same place. But they sneak up on you, don't they? Them potholes, they get, you know. Every time I hit one, I get, oh, I remember. I forgot it was there. I forgot. And it gets after me. There were so many in our street, I told Rosie, you know what? Isn't there a number we can call? Man, who are these guys? Where are the guys that fix the roads, man? So Rosie looks it up. She goes, hey, I called, man. I told them that the street had plenty of potholes. What was cool about it was that they called her back and they asked her for the street address again because somehow they'd gotten it wrong. And they said, okay, we'll be out. Sure enough, the next day, there's a guy out there filling potholes, fixing them. Folks, potholes are kind of like an example of some of the things we step into. And then we step into it again. And then we step into it again. And God wants to fix all those potholes that you've been stepping into. He really does. He wants to undergird you. So that when you're going down there, you know what's funny? Rosie likes to drive kind of fast. I'm not real fast, but fast. And when we're going down the road and before the potholes were fixed, we're doing this. Holy, she's going in and out. There are potholes all over the place. Man. As a Rosie, the best thing to do with them is slow down so you can move around. You know. Sorry, babe. You know, the more you hit a pothole, the bigger it gets. Is that right? Can I tell you that? When things are going in your life, the more you hit it, the bigger it gets, the bigger it gets. You know what? Allow God to fill that pothole. You know how you're going to fill it? You're going to go to him in his presence. You're going to spend some time with him. He's going to speak to you, and he's going to say some things to you. And that thing that's been bothering you, that thing that's been troubling you, that thing that's been hurting you will begin to take on some kind of a filler. Is that okay? Something that begins to help you so that when you get close to that again, you're not bumping into it like you used to. You begin to just kind of cruise right over it and keep going. The joy of the Lord is strength to you. Listen to me. I'm speaking to somebody. I can feel it more than that. The joy of the Lord is strength to you. It is strength to you. And that joy will cause you just to move over those pains and those hurts that you've been running through and bumping into. And you watch what God does. Hallelujah. Because God is doing a strengthening work in your life today. Right now, today, He's doing a strengthening work in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says this, "There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you." Verse 6 says, "Be strong and be of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wheresoever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever you go." Hallelujah. God is with you wherever you go. And you know what the commands were to Joshua were? Be strong and be very courageous. It's nice to have that spoken to you by God. Is that right? Hank, be strong, be very courageous. Greg, be strong, be very courageous. Abe, be strong, be very courageous. It's nice to have that spoken to you. Is that right? Yeah, it is. Anthony, be strong, be very courageous. Hallelujah. Rebecca, be strong, be very courageous. Oscar, be strong. Howard, be strong. Be strong and very courageous. Is that right? Nice to have those things spoken to you, but you say, but how? How do I do that? God, show me how, especially if you're taking over a million people into the promised land. God, how am I going to do that? Be strong and very courageous. God gives him instruction. He says, take the law that I gave to Moses and meditate on it day and night. Is that right? Is that what he said? Meditate on the law day and night. Then you will, it says, then you will prosper. Is that what it says? Hallelujah. The book of the law, verse 8, "The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." How many of you like prospering? How many want good success? How many want that? Let me tell you something. The way you're going to do it, you're going to stay in the Word of God, and you're going to meditate on the Word of God. The Word of God is God's channel to you. Listen, to take you where He wants you to go. As you're meditating on the Word of God, you're going to find that God will begin to speak to you because you're meditating on it. There's a difference between just reading the God's Word and then meditating on it. Some folks just read it. Well, I'm reading through the Bible through the year. Cool, man. That's good. I'm glad. What scriptures is talking to you right now? Well, I don't know. I'm just reading through the Bible. Well, folks, it's important that we meditate on the Word of God. Meditating on God's Word. Take a scripture and say, you know, for instance, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Take that scripture and walk with it. And just say it to yourself and say, okay, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, blessed is the man or woman that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Just take that word and you begin to meditate on it. Think on it. Think on it. Ungodly counsel is not good for me. Okay, I'm just going to think, I'm going to listen to the Word of God. But you begin to think on it and continue in it. And that's in the place, that's where you position yourself for God to begin to say to you, "I'll do this for you," or "go do this," because you're meditating on God's Word. That's how you're going to prosper. That's how you're going to have great success, is because you set your heart after God. And let me tell you this, Brother Isaac, God's going to use you for his kingdom. He's going to speak into your heart. Isaac, the things he has for you are covered right now, but he's got plenty for you. You hear me? He's got those things for you, brother. If you meditate on his word, he'll begin to expose those things to you. It's uncovering. Meditating on his word helps him to uncover those things that he's trying to speak to you in. Okay? Hold on to those things. Don't turn loose. God is trying to build us. Meditating on his word is going to strengthen you like nothing else will. I'm going to get some gym stuff up here because I do believe this is a year of strength. I'm going to get some weight sets up here and put them up here, and I'm going to have each and every one of you come by and do some weightlifting. Is that okay? That's cool, man. Everybody's going to come in and do some weights, man. We'll start with some barbells. Isn't that right? Isn't that good, Gary? We'll get some up here, man, because we're going to build strength. No, I might get them up here just so that you, everybody, when you walk in, people will ask you, what's that all about? And God's bringing strength to the body of Christ. But strength comes, folks, through the Word of God. It's sourced through the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I like verse 5 where he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What's he talking about? You're going to be something different. Is that all right? You are something different. There shall not any man be able to stand before you. Why? Because you've got God in your life. Anything that comes against you, God's going to give you wisdom and understanding on how to operate and navigate around it or through it or over it or under it. However it is, God's going to help you, and he's going to build those things so that no man can stand before you. Check it out. Hallelujah. Remember Jesus? Let's go to John chapter 7, verse 28 through 32. Look at the book of John. Then Jesus cried in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they sought to take him, and no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ comes, he will do more miracles than these which this man has done. The Pharisees heard the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. It was nice, it was cool when Jesus was speaking. How many know that no man could resist what Jesus was saying? Is that right? Why was that? Why couldn't anybody resist what Jesus was saying? He was God. Is that right? God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Was what he was saying true? Everything he did was true. Every story, every parable he spoke was true. There's nothing he could speak that wouldn't be true. Everything he spoke was true. When he spoke about the young man that had left his father's house and gone and spent all his inheritance, it was true stories. When he spoke about Lazarus sitting in front of the rich man's gate, and then the rich man died and Lazarus died, and they went to rich man went to hell and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. He was not making up stories. He was telling the truth. This is the way it is, man. Is that cool? We call them parables, but yet they were connected to truth. And when Jesus was telling them, there was no way that even the Pharisees who were trying to trap him in all these words could say anything contrary about it. I said, man, So much so, those officers that they sent to pick him up, they sent in. Verse 32 says, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Look at verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests. They came back to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" And the officers answered, "Never spoke a man like this man." Can I tell you that's the position God has brought you to? Look, I'm talking to you about increase of your inheritance. The position that Jesus is showing here, the position that those officers were talking about, nobody's ever talked like this man. That's the same position God has placed you in. Do you know that? Do you know it? See, I'm going to tell you something. These are some of these things we need to get to know. These are some of those things. You need to be confident in who you are and what you're saying and what God is saying to you. So that when you're talking to folks out there, you can just be as truthful and loving and as powerful as God has for you. It's just cool. He's placed you in that position. You remember Stephen? Oh, they stoned him. But even before they stoned him, the scriptures say that they could not resist the spirit by which he spoke. They couldn't resist it. That's the same position he's placed in you. That's where you're at. You might go, "Oh, well, I don't do that." Well, step into your inheritance. God has paid a price for your inheritance, for you to accept it. Joshua could have stayed on the other side. Okay, we're not going in. I don't know how to distribute. I got no idea how to distribute. Everything God would do with Joshua to distribute the land to all the tribes, God was going to help him with. He says, just meditate on my word. Just stay in my word. And those things, those questions that you have, will begin to come to you. The answers will come to you. And you'll know how to distribute the land to the Levites and to the Simeonites, to the Gadites, to the Levites. Did I say that? I did. To the tribe of Judah, to the tribe of Asher, to the tribe of Zebulun. All those tribes, God said, "I will show you how to distribute. But you got to meditate in my word." Is that cool? Folks, if that's what you're doing, if you're meditating his word, I'm going to tell you, any answer, any question that you got that you don't have an answer for, it's already in you. It's coming. It is forthcoming. Because he is with you. Oh, come on, man. Hallelujah. It's an inheritance. You need to understand it's for you and it's in you already. You don't have to work to try to get it. Just stay in his word. Just meditate on his word. Hallelujah. Never a man talked like this man. Yeah, it's cool, Pat. When you're talking to somebody and you walk off, "Did you hear that guy talking? Nobody's ever talked to me like that before. That's cool, man. Who is that guy?" "Oh, no, his name is Pat." Yeah, whatever. Howard, is that right? Why? Because it's not you, it's him. It's the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit is interested in bringing in the lost. How many know that God loves the lost? Amen. How many know God loves sinners? Yes. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God loves sinners? Boy, I'm glad. Because I wasn't doing too good before I got to know Jesus. He changed my life. He changed my life. God loves sinners. Hallelujah. Doesn't love what they do, but he loves them. I was asking the Lord what to say at the memorial yesterday while I was speaking. And didn't get anything. I'm laying in bed, asleep. Then I wake up. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and my wife is in the living room praying. And I can hear her praying. I said, "Man, praise God." I'm going to tell you what. I'm glad I have a wife that prays. I'm glad that I have someone that spends time in the presence of God. I'm so glad. And I thought, "Oh, praise God. She's praying." And right then, the Lord began to speak to me. "Tell them that I look on the heart. Do you know that God looks on your heart? Do you know that he knows how much you love him? Do you know that? Hallelujah. And sometimes the things that we're doing, we condemn ourselves and we make ourselves miserable because we know it's not right. We know that God is not for that. But the fact of the matter is, he knows you. He knows your heart. And he will continue to love you and minister to you by his Spirit. And he will bring that thing out of you if you allow him to. If you begin to meditate on his word. If you begin to stay in his word. You will find success. And then he will prosper you in everything that you do. He will. That's just who he is. His instructions to Joshua are his instructions to you. They haven't changed. Stay in the word of God. Stay in there. Hallelujah. Let's go to John chapter 8. Here's Jesus Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Remember the word of God said that there would be no man that could stand before him? This is one of those situations where Jesus is just showing us his position, which is also your position. Isn't that cool? This is your position. He has placed this position in you. But what do you say? I love it. Jesus stooped down and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Praise God. Beautiful, beautiful story when God comes to the rescue. Isn't that right? Comes to her rescue. Beautiful position that God has where the Pharisees came and said, "Hey, this is what the law says. But what do you say?" Word of God says that he got down, he began to write with his finger on the ground. I believe myself, this is what I believe, he began to write just simply the Ten Commandments. "I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And as these guys simply watched, saying, what's he writing? And they went over and looked, and they go, "Oh, he's writing the law." I believe that's all it took was for them to understand that he was with his finger, just like God did with Moses. With his finger, he wrote the Ten Commandments. Here Jesus is writing them on the ground. Here's the Ten Commandments. And he's saying, you know, "Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou." And the Bible says they began from the oldest to the youngest. Why from the oldest? Come on, man. As we run through this life, we kind of know there's a lot of things that happen. From the oldest to the youngest, they went, and they began to leave. Drop the rock, take off. Is that right? And then he asked the girl, "Don't you have anybody that's going to condemn you?" No. The only person that was there that had position to condemn her was Jesus in that midst. Is that right? He was the only one, and he said, "Neither do I." He said, "I want you to go and I want you to sin no more." Folks, the words, everything about this thing is still with us. He's telling you the same thing, sin no more. Go your way and don't do it anymore. Just do not do it anymore. He has placed you in a position, a position of inheritance. Hallelujah. And that inheritance comes through you looking at the Word of God and continuing. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 through 37. Matthew 12. Whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man. I'm sorry. 34 through 37. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen. How you like being called vipers? God's not talking to you. He was talking to those Pharisees. He said, oh, you vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your mouth, what? For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you are justified, or and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The Lord is teaching us that the words that we speak are very valuable to us. Is that right? The value to them is they will bring forth. Is that right? They're very valuable to you. They will bring forth either good things or they will bring forth bad. Your position, listen, your position, I'm telling you this today. Your position is not to say anything that's contrary to what God is saying anymore. Is that right? Is that right? Your position is to speak good things. Is that correct? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God is saying some things to us. You cannot speak about your brother or who, no matter what church they're going to, you can't speak them in a negative way. Whatever it is, you just speak good things about them. Because you will bring forth because the position you have is a position that you've inherited from Him. Do you hear me? The position you have has been inherited, so when you bring forth something, it's going to be good. Is that okay? Hallelujah. God is looking for you to bring forth those things. Hallelujah. God has called you to bring forth good things. God is calling you not to tear down, but to build up. God is calling you to plant the heavens. Plant the heavens. Say things that will grow about people. Do you know that in order to cast out the strong man, in order for us to cast out the strong man, we have to speak good things? Do you know that? I don't care. It doesn't matter what you see going on in our city. Speak, if it's contrary to God, speak good things towards it. Do you hear what I'm saying? If there is, let's just say there is a, say there's a, let's say there is a public figure that is doing incorrect things. Do not go around speaking about them. Pray for them and speak toward them. Lord's going to touch him. Lord's going to give him. Lord's going to lead him or her and guide him or her in the things that they're doing. I try to do that so that you don't think that I'm talking about anybody. Is that okay? I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking that we need to change the way we look at things and speak in a positive and a good way, because it is an inheritance in your life. It's something that God has given you. It is an inheritance. When you talk the other way, when you're talking things when you're speaking things that are bringing forth evil, I'm going to tell you, that's not your inheritance. You need to get away from that. Is that okay? Oh, they'll never learn. Don't say that. That person will never change. Don't say that. God changed you, didn't he? Come on, man. I hope you hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. You have an inheritance. Do not work against it, but let it work with you. Work with it so that it can take you somewhere. Do you understand that? He's trying to bring that inheritance to you. It's a lot stronger than you realize. It's a lot stronger than I realize. Folks, we're not doing church the way we learned to do church. If you're coming in here expecting this church to be like any other church, it's not going to be that way. This church is going to be exactly the way God wants it to be. That's what I'm asking, Lord. I don't care. You can run me off, but I'm going to preach the truth. You can say, hey, man, you know what? You got to be politically correct. But not me. I don't know how to be politically correct. I got no idea on that. All I know is what God's word says to me. That is what positioned me here. Why would I change that? Is that correct? Why would I change it? For you? No, man, I ain't gonna do it for nobody. Come on, don't get offended. I will say what God has given me to say. And that's your position. You say what God tells you to say. Meditate on his word and you watch what he gives you to say. You'll see it, you'll know it, you'll feel it, it'll come in you. And it will overtake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wrote this down while I was doing it. I said, this year is new. How do you like the new year? No, but this is a new year. This is new. It's new. It's different. It's got something else in it that we've never seen before. It's new. It's new to the body of Christ. It's new. It is totally. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this is an unexpected year for the body of Christ. You watch. You watch what God is saying. It's unexpected. This is going to be a year of unexpected glory in the body of Christ. Not just here. I'm sorry, all over. Wherever the body of Christ is, those people that are loving God and believing him and going to him for their answers, not to anybody else, but going to him, it's going to be an unexpected year. This year is new. It's different. It's important. God is expecting something. How many know that God's expecting something? You know, the word of God tells us we're to be mature Christians. Is that right? Yeah. You know what? People will tell you stuff, man, and you're hurt in an instant. You know what? Let it roll off. Is that? Somebody tells you something mean, let it roll off and flip it off the other end. Let it go. Let it go, because God is saying so many different things to you that's trying to build you. Why should you let somebody else? Maybe they just got hurt. Maybe they got, you know, excited about something, said something that felt like it was mean to you. So what? What is that to you? What is that to you? Hallelujah. God is expecting the maturity in the body of Christ. Do you hear me? He's telling them to grow up. Get over yourself. How's that thing? Come on, man. Get over yourself. Hallelujah. Because God is doing something in your life. Hallelujah. Watch this. God is expecting something. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down. Forever, one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Do you see that? What is God expecting? What? What's he expecting? He's expecting that his enemies be made his footstool. Hallelujah. Do you know that's not mamby-pamby Christian talk? Do you know that that's not baby Christian talk? Do you know that's not milk talk? That is full meat. That is a full-grown Christian. Hallelujah. That will begin to declare this earth to be the footstool of God. That will cause the enemies of God to run. Is that right? Do you know that two of you or one of you will set 1,000 to flight? Two of you will set 10,000? With that mathematics, who's a mathematician? How many will 8 send? I don't know. Don't answer. That's okay. Listen, God is expecting, he's expecting us to grow up. How many know I shouldn't be up here saying, hey man, you got to read your Bible? Come on, man. Is that right? How many know that I shouldn't be up here telling you got to believe God? That's not be automatic. Man, it says it, I believe it. Hallelujah. Because the world's going to try to steal it. They're going to try to disdain it. They're going to say, you're one of them. I am one of them. I bind that spirit you're working in, bro. In the name of Jesus. And watch what happens. Is that right? Hallelujah. He's expecting that we, Jesus is expecting for us to create a footstool for him here. Is that cool? Oh, yeah, yo, check it out. Matthew chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. It says this. Jesus is talking. He says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is what? Come unto you. What's he talking about? He casts out demons. Is that right? By the Spirit of God. Is that right? Come on, man. He dwells in you. Hallelujah. Your inheritance is set. It's in you. It's already there. Anything that's contrary to the word of God, speak to it. You don't have to go up and hit somebody and say, you're a demon worshiper and all this other. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is when you sense it, you know what it is. I bind that spirit of depression in that lady's life in the name of Jesus. Walk off. Speak it out in the earth and walk off. I bind that spirit of lust that's in that guy. Speak it out and walk away. I bind. I take authority over. Yeah, watch this. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to our power verse. Well, did I get the rest of it? Did I read the whole thing? No, I didn't. It says, if I cast out devils out of with the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Is the kingdom of God come to you? Absolutely it has. And then it says this, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his... Oh, listen to this. The whole deal is about words. It really is. It's about words. It's about what you believe and how you say it. It's all about words. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus said in another place, he goes, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they're life. It's all about words. That's why the devil's going to speak words to you and say, it's a bunch of bull, man. It's a bunch of nonsense. That's why he's going to speak those words to you. That's why you stay in the word of God and use those words and you say, no, man, I've seen people get saved. I've seen the miracle of salvation. It is not. It is real. It's real. It's real. Oh, I know it's real. Yeah, you hold. It's all about words. It's all about words. So when you bind a strong man, use his words. How many we got in here? Teachers. How many of you told kids, hey, use your words? Use your words. Is that right? Rebecca? We tell my granddaughter, use your words. My grandson, use your words. Use your words. It's the word. It's all about words. Use your words. You speak, walk away, and watch. Just let it go. Speak again. Whatever it takes, get out, get out, get out. Whatever it takes, just keep speaking to it. You don't have to get all fluffy and powered up and everything. Just say, get out. In the name of Jesus. You leave me alone in the name of Jesus. Something's troubling you, a spirit of depression, a spirit of lust, a spirit of gambling, whatever it is, get out. You've got no place here. Your words are important and they will bring forth. Hallelujah. Psalm 110. This is the power verse. Psalm 110. Hallelujah. Remember where it said that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, waiting till his enemies be made his footstool? That was Hebrews chapter 10. Here's Psalm 110. It says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. It's kind of a crazy power verse, but this is a power verse. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Verse 3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. From the womb of the morning, early morning hours, you're up and you're in the presence of God. You go and you begin to pray. And you begin to open the word and you begin to talk to God about things. And if you listen, you'll begin to hear him begin to talk to you about things. He says, in the dew, in the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your strength. When you go to him early morning, because folks, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of folks, well, I do my praying at night. And that's good. That's great. But I will tell you, as a pastor, I would say consider early morning prayers. In Jeremiah, the Lord said, I came to them rising early and speaking to them, but yet they would not listen. And for you, I want you to rise early. Go to the Word of God. Go to prayer. Take the Word of God and pray what you see and what you're, and listen for God to speak to you. In that womb, what is the womb? Isn't it a workplace for creation? Is that right? Come on, lady. Is that correct? It is a workplace for creation in the womb where things are made and things are built. In the womb, you have the dew of your youth. God will begin to speak to you. He'll begin to show you, give you waters of life. Hallelujah. And then it says, the people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Today is the day of his power. You're in the day of his power. So step into the inheritance God has called you into. Get into that place. They that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. And that's you. Every one of you here today. Every one of you, get into that place. Ignore the place, you'll get weaker and weaker and weaker. How many know that? Stay away. How many know that? I think there's a saying that says, 1 week without prayer. How many say, 7 days without prayer makes what? 1 week. Ignore that place, you're going to get weaker. But maintain that place, make a habit of that place. God's going to build you stronger and stronger and stronger. And then I won't be able to keep you out of the pulpit. I say, man, yeah, you preach. No, yeah, you preach. Yeah, you do that. Because God is speaking to the body. He's strengthening the body. And that's who you are. You have an inheritance that he's bringing to you that's greater than the inheritance you thought of. It's bigger than that. God has a lot for you, but you got to be obedient. You got to be willing. In the day of their willing. Is that what it says? People shall be willing in the day of your power. You got to be willing. Willing. I'm willing, yeah. But I'm not willing to give up my time. I'm not willing to give up my, whatever. Not willing. Be willing. Be obedient. And you watch that inheritance comes towards you. Can you stand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Kind of a different message this morning, isn't it? Yeah. Listen, there is an increase in your inheritance. And sometimes we don't recognize it's coming, but it's coming. So, Father, I thank you for each and every person here this morning. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives, God. Father, I thank you for the increase of their inheritance right now, Father God. Father God, not that inheritance that we're talking about that someday when we go to be with you, but Father, here on the earth, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father. So I'm praying, Father God, that each and every person in here this morning, Father God, that inheritance, Father God, would begin to push on them and squeeze on them, Lord, to the place that they say, God, I gotta know what it is you have for me. Father, I thank you for that, for their lives, Father God. Father, cause your people to be strong. Cause your people, Father God, Lord, to be lights in this earth, Father God. Father, help us, Lord, to put down the things that are not profitable to us, Lord. Help us to speak the things that are profitable to us, Lord. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. So hug somebody and love on folks on the way out. Hallelujah. Glory to God.